the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the fourth Sunday in Advent, I'm calling In God All Things Are Possible. It's a sermon written by the Most Reverend Archbishop John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the ACC, and first given December 20th, 1998. Wednesday is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. Thomas was not with the other disciples when they first saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. When they told Thomas, he replied, I'm not going to believe you until I can see the wounds in his hands and his side, and until he lets me stick my fingers into them. This is why he has the nickname Doubting Thomas. It doesn't seem to me that his doubting was a particularly horrible sin. In the first place, it wasn't all that common for dead people to be seen walking around later on. And as soon as Jesus showed him his wounds, Thomas surrendered his doubt, saying, My Lord and my God. We're going to celebrate Jesus' birth later this week. In case you didn't know, last week we talked about the birth of his cousin, St. John the Baptist. John's birth was miraculous because his parents appeared to be too old to conceive a child. What went on with them sounds exactly like what happened to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis. God said they would conceive their first child. Their age made them doubt. The baby came anyway. The miraculousness of Jesus' conception was of a greater order of magnitude. His parents had never slept together. His mother was still a virgin. It is most important that we not fall into what we would call centuryism or eraism, which would be to think God had the miracle of the virgin birth take place in the first century because people were superstitious and ignorant enough to believe such things then. If you read the accounts of St. Matthew's Gospel and St. Luke's Gospel, you discover that the first two people who doubted the possibility of conceiving a child without both a male and a female parent were the first two people to hear about it, St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. These were people who knew where babies come from and were able to see that what they were being asked to be part of, to take part in, was in fact a miracle. A suspension of the rules of how things normally go by the man who wrote the rules in the first place. The Archangel Gabriel told Mary God wanted her to be the mother of his son. Using her native shrewdness, she asked, How shall this be, seeing I am not with a man, that I know not a man? Gabriel explained how it would happen, and then used as a clincher to remove all doubt the example of John the Baptist's mother. Look at your cousin Elizabeth. Everybody thought she was too old to conceive a child, and she is 6 months pregnant. That should make you confident that he can give you a baby without using a man. With God, nothing shall be impossible. St. Joseph visited his fiancée shortly thereafter, and she gave him a sort of good news, bad news report. The bad news is I'm pregnant, but the good news is that the Father is the Holy Ghost. St. Matthew makes it plain that Joseph just plain did not believe her. He doubted too. God's word spoken to him in a dream by an angel took his doubts away. Now I don't bring all this up to show that religious doubt and questioning are healthy things. Healthy if you pursue your questions until you get answers, as the doubting Bible characters did. The doubts of Joseph and Mary also suggest something about Advent we don't often think about. What I'm talking about is what they went through for the 9 months of her pregnancy, which we mark in the church calendar as a period from Annunciation Day on March 25th until Christmas itself. We have no reason to think that there was anything extraordinary about Mary's pregnancy other than its beginning. But still, can they have been thinking? What could they have been expecting? They knew the baby was going to be a boy, so that mystery was solved. They knew that they knew what they thought had happened to them was not an hallucination, because the pregnant Mary met her cousin Elizabeth, pregnant with John the Baptist, and John leapt in her womb for joy at being in the presence of the Savior. But it must have been puzzling for them, as well as a bit frightening. Joseph and Mary's experience in those 9 months exemplifies a question we all ask about all sorts of things. I wonder how it is all going to turn out. Today we say farewell to Advent. Advent tells us Jesus is going to come back. Advent tells us that if he doesn't hurry up, we're going to die before he comes back. The Bible gives us a good bit of information about how the world is going to end, how all that is going to turn out. But we still wonder how our own lives and the lives of people we care about are going to turn out. One message of a funeral is, this is how it turned out. The New Testament assures us that as long as we remain faithful to our union with Jesus, it doesn't matter how our lives come out of this world. We know how things are going to turn out in the longer run. We're going to go to heaven, where God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. The only people who will go to hell are the ones who insist upon going. And we can believe people will make that choice at the end, because we see them making that same choice now. I see no reason to doubt any of that one bit. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.